You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas. All right, remain standing. If you've got your electronic devices or if you have your Bible, turn with me to the scripture found in John chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 23. I want y'all to track with me right now because I'm not going to be long. But there's some things that we have been challenged with in terms of our own spiritual maturity. And no longer are we going to rehearse the elementary things of God. Those things that we've talked about in terms of our own personal challenges and our own personal, it's time to grow up. Amen. And come to the realization of some things that you have as a child of God. And 2014 is over, and so the mistakes and all of the things of that time, if you've asked God to forgive you, he doesn't know what you're talking about anymore, but there now is an expectation for you to step your game up. And start living and start being who he created you to be. And that is a child of the living God. A child that would grow and mature to a son and daughter, a prince, a princess. Developing to we get to a place where we become kings and lords. Because that's what he is. He's the king of, come on y'all. King of and the lord of. All right, y'all ready? I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and verse 23 says this, in John chapter 12, it says this, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I want y'all to highlight in your Bibles, or you can track with me on this, because this is going to be fun. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. For he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the house. Today, I won't say this is a series, but we're just kind of continuing on with the thought of launch 2015 for us as children of God, maturing into princesses, growing into our lordship and our kingship. God is declared to us, this is a year of favor, but you've got to understand, God is not handing out, he's not doing handouts anymore. All right. We've learned, I think that we have learned and we have experienced in 2014 that God is he's real, but he's not going to baby you anymore. Y'all mad at me already, huh? Come on now. That the prayers that we have asked God for in 2014, those that quote unquote were not answered because, look, we were praying amiss, as the scripture teaches us. We were praying selfishly. We were doing and asking God for things that we needed or we wanted, but we weren't ready to give God his due. And how many of you know the Lord is not stupid? Just like we as parents are not dumb to understand that when our kids ask for things, we know that they want them, but we also know that there are things that they're asking for that they are not yet ready to receive because they will abuse it, they will tear it up. And y'all know how we are as parents. We're like, you know, that costs a little bit too much money for you to be. Come on, y'all, wake up. I tell you, we going there today. That we don't give just simply because we love our kids. All right, some of us don't give just because we love our kids, but we understand that there's a maturity that comes with things that we want to give to them because we want them, one, to be accountable, we want them to be able to take care of, and we want them to be able to be successful with what it is that we bless them with. Amen. Well, guess where we get that from? God. Just so y'all don't have to belabor and try to guess at it. We get that aspect of how we parent and how we take care of, how we look at things that we possess. We get this from God. And so today, in this continuation of launch, I titled this The God Seed. The God Seed. And there's a couple of things that I believe that God wants to bring to our attention. So we're going to track a little bit in Scripture. Matthew 13, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And I'm just going to read. Y'all can follow me, highlight it in your Bibles. But we've heard of this, the parable of the sower. And Jesus gives this analogy to people that are listening to him, a great multitude of people. Verse 3, I'm going to start there. You can follow. He says this, then he, meaning Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured some on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun came up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away and died. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The disciples began to question Jesus in regards to, why are you talking to them like this? And they themselves really didn't understand the parable. In verse 18, he continues on to make it clear. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, highlight that in your Bible. Hear the word of the kingdom. And does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who has received seed by the wayside. But he who has received the seed or the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecutions arise because of the word that you have, the word of what? The word of the kingdom. Because of that, immediately he stumbles. Make the analogy, see the tracking. He has no depth of root in the word of the kingdom that he's received. I've heard it. I know that scripture. I did, but you're not living it. You're not living it. Why? Because when tribulation and troubles come, it's not deep inside of you. You know it, but you're not able to use it. You're not mature enough because you're still concerned with the next verse. It says this, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns, it is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. What does that mean? It means that at some given point, at that word, there's some of it that takes root and it's deep, and you are producing some fruit. There are some aspects of God, the God seed in you, the kingdom in you that has come out. But then there are other things that become more important. There are other things that become more precedent in your life, and that gets choked out. And so where at a certain time in your walk in time in your life with the Lord, you were fruitful, you were excited about the things of God, the cares of this world became more important. And now when you were fruitful, you are now not fruitful. You have in fact convinced yourself that God is wanting you to walk this way and live this way and do this way, and you have created your own gospel. You have convinced yourself that what the world says is okay because of relationship, what the world says is okay in regards to just how you deal with people. You have convinced yourself because of your experience that this is how I should live as a believer. And the word is choked out of you. Yes, I forgive everybody, but yet there's this one person or these people that I can't forgive that. It's not what the scripture says, though. That's not what the word of the kingdom says. Yet you've convinced yourself. And so you are unfruitful in the area of forgiveness. Love you. Yeah, I know. There's two. Thank you for your two people that still love me. I'm just saying. Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the... Y'all reading with me? Are you looking at me? But he who received seed on the... But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Last week we were told in terms of just stepping our game up in prayer, there was a statement that was made, and me and Ms. Tracy and just chopping up the word and things of that nature of what was spoken, we came to this conclusion. The statement was this: most of us aren't living an original life. We're just copies. And the reference that Pastor Petrie was talking about, as far as us as church, we all try to kind of carbon copy what other churches are doing and expecting to get the same product. And the reality of it is that we as a church, we are original. God setting us up and planting us and putting us where we are is so that we would do us. Hello. So in the manner of how certain churches do certain things, and we might be enamored with those things or what have you, that's all well and good for them. No hate, but it's cool for them. We don't know how those people are. We don't know the level of maturity they're at. We don't know anything about how they are called to produce. Our job is to find out how we are called to produce. And if we are not producing, it's not because we're not doing what they are doing. We're not producing because we're not doing what God says for us. Man, y'all, I love y'all. Yeah, y'all being set up right now like bowling pins. It's not because we're not doing what God has called us to do. That's another message. But he says, most of us are not living original lives. We are just copies. But me and Pastor Tracy, in terms of kind of breaking this down, we are copies. We're just not called to copy what God has set as original for another ministry. But we are copies. Be quiet, woman. You're going to need to get a mic if you're going to keep doing that. No, you good, baby. You good, because you know where I'm going. Genesis chapter 1. Turn there, please. I want y'all to understand. We are copies. And the issue is if we find ourselves emulating that which we are originally copied from, then we're not going to have a problem being original in regards to God's call for us as a ministry. Are you there? Do you guys have that on screen? Genesis chapter 1. I always like to go back to the beginning. He's finding some stuff out in the beginning. Amen. Verse 11 in Genesis chapter 1, it says this: Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Ooh, you gotta just sit there for a minute and just take that for a minute. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps. So God created in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And I can go on and on, but y'all see where I'm going with this, don't you? Okay, let's go a little bit further for a moment. Genesis chapter 3. Walk with me. Mankind sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and now the Lord is speaking judgment, if you will, because of the actions. Verse 13, we'll start there. And the Lord said to the woman, what did he say to the woman? He said, What is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In the context of reference scripture, we know that this is speaking specifically and directly about the coming of the Lord, Jesus. Her seed and the enemy's seed. Let's understand something here. Now, in the context of speaking about Jesus, but Jesus makes a reference, and he speaks about now the seed in Matthew 13 being the Word. And the seed that is the Word has a responsibility to now produce after its own kind. Y'all tracking with me? Jesus is the seed that this scripture is referencing, but that seed is, it has been determined that seed must produce after its own kind. This is not that deep, guys. I am not going to plant an apple seed and get lemon. Not going to get a lemon seed and get apples. Every seed, according to what God has declared, must produce and will produce after its own kind. In fact, I found it very interesting in the reading of this scripture. He makes reference to seed, but he also makes reference to trees that produce fruit, which inside the fruit are what? Seed. Within itself, the fruit, it produces the seed so that it can now reproduce after its own kind. Amen. Y'all tracking with me for a minute? He's like, what's happening here, Pastor? I'm saying that for each and every one of us, according to Scripture, God did not make a mistake in terms of how he said things. And his expression, while there was sin that had now perpetuated and judgment that was being cast to mankind, he had already set up a plan to reestablish what he intended, that was God-men on earth. He references that the enemy would have seed. This is the sin now that perpetuates itself time and again in the lives of men because of what happened with Adam and Eve. But God had already interjected that, first of all, that a woman was going to produce a seed. Ladies, biology 101, you do not have seed. You have eggs. I'm skateboarding right now. You do not have seed. You have eggs. In order for your eggs to produce a human being, now I'm talking to you as human beings now, okay? You have to have a seed that will perpetuate after its own kind, human. Amen. Anything that you try to do outside of that, it is not going to work. Why? Because God has already declared that seed must produce after its own. Okay, so we good. So God has already spoken a miracle. He has already declared that that this seed that's going to come from a woman, which doesn't exist, because women don't have seeds, this seed that this woman is going to possess, it is going to reintroduce what I intended on this planet. That there would be God men and women to do what I said that they were supposed to do. What? Have dominion. God's plan has not changed. God's intent has not changed. Issue that we have is that in our launch and in our relationship with God, we have religified it so much that we have forgotten, wait a minute, God produces after his own kind. If I've accepted Jesus, the first seed that came from a woman, which was a miracle, then the miracle of me now becoming a part of God, attached to God, in relationship with God, that miracle in and of itself should help me to say, I can't live like I used to live anymore because I am not who I was. Well, how do you know that you are not who you were? Because in order for a seed to produce and or reproduce, first it must die. What's he doing? He's skateboarding. Okay, Pastor, what you talking about here? I'm a little confused. Jesus, the seed, came to earth. He's declared a lot of things that he would do, but his ultimate goal, the Son of Man was made manifest to destroy, the works of the enemy, to destroy what the enemy has produced and perpetuated century after century. I have come to destroy. How have you done that? Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to die. Preaching better than y'all talking right now, but that's okay. You going to do what? Die. Why would you do that? Because I am the God seed. And in order for me, if I die and I die alone with no purpose behind, with no good ground to be placed into, then I can't accomplish what it is that my Father intended to happen, which was a multiplication of God men and God women on this earth. So I can't just stay here and just be doing. Well, how come Jesus didn't stay and just be here and show us? But he had to die so that he could reproduce more like himself. And that aspect of his death, it was a manifestation of a miracle. His birth was a miracle. His walking on the planet was a miracle. His death was pretty much not a good thing, because he died a natural death and a horrible death. But to come back to life, I don't know. I'm having a problem believing that. Why? He was born of a woman who had a seed. That doesn't happen. Where'd the seed come from? The Father, God. Him made manifest to destroy the works of the enemy and do what? To reproduce more like himself. How would he do that? He's not going to do it in the natural. How come Jesus didn't have no kids? He had a lot of kids, but not the way that we have kids. He had a lot of children. God has a lot of children. If you're in Christ. Uh-oh. Glad that was closed. If you're in Christ, I'm paraphrasing 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new, y'all call quiet, and you are a new creature. What kind of creature are you? You are a God seed product. You look at your neighbor and say, you are not who you think you are. Tell them you are a God seed product. Now, some people are not going to believe, ain't going to track with that because you may not have made the connection to the original seed. That may not resonate for some of you because you hadn't honestly, you made the connection with the seed in terms of what you know, knowledgeable of the God seed, Jesus. You might know about him. You may have heard about him, but you hadn't made the connection to him. So when someone tells you and declares to you, which is true, that you are a God seed product, it won't resonate with you because you are actually right now operating and perpetuating in a counterfeit, a copy of something that you're not even supposed to be. The devil's seed. That sounds crazy, right? But that's what Jesus said. You know, her seed is going to have a problem with your seed. God's seed, devil seed. Now, I'm not calling anybody a devil, but I'm saying in terms of, watch this, in terms of what you produce. See, because seed produces after. Come on now. So now we got to check ourselves now and get out of this religious, or I got to do good because I'm supposed to be a Christian. No, you are supposed to do good because you are a God seed. And so many times we sit and we declare to the top of our lungs, God is good. Ooh, see, now you're messing. God is good all the time. And all the time. Yeah, we know that. But let's take that first part for a minute. God is good. So then, therefore, if God is good all the time and God has seed that he has produced. God's seed is good. This is going to be what's the rest of the year looking like, y'all. Because God is not leaving us with no excuses. So now you have to ask the question, and it's not my job to answer it for you. It is your job to take into account your life. And if you have declared that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you don't have to struggle with being good, because you are good. It is within you to bear the fruit that is from God. The fruit of the Spirit. We all know, we've heard about it now. If you're not too familiar with it, find out what it is, because that's what you are built, what you are conditioned, what you are designed to produce. And it's not hard because it's already in you. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say that because God the Father in the beginning made this statement. He said the seed will produce after its kind, but he also said then trees will produce what? Fruit. And within the fruit, there is seed. And you and I, what we are, a product, we are a product. We are actually the fruit. And within us should then be more God. Come on, y'all. More God seed. What are we supposed to do with that seed? We're supposed to plant it. See, this changes the dynamic of the sower story. Why? Because he wasn't just referencing his now moment where he's speaking of himself, and we understand that the seed is the word, but he's also speaking to us in the future tense to say, you now are the sower. See, we always look at it from the aspect of us being the recipient and the good ground, and that's good. Please do that. But when you turn the prism of this scripture and you understand who you are and what you have, now you become the sower. And the sower planted, he didn't plant, the scripture didn't say he just planted, but he sown the seed and on different types of. How many of y'all know that everybody that you run into for you as a child of God is not trying to hear you? How many of y'all know that there's some people who hear you and they get excited and then they fall off? How many of you know that there's some people that hear you and for a strong moment they're doing their thing, but then the life issues turn around and now they're not showing up in church no more? How many of you know, but then there's some people, a handful of people that you talk to, and then there's something that's resonating from you to them and they grasp a hold of and they just start doing the God thing and it's exciting. How many of you know that? Why? Because he has said that this whole issue of its kind perpetuating after itself, that it went from him doing the work to you and I. So you're not here just to do good for good's sake. You and I, we are here to produce. Look at your neighbor and say, you are here to produce. This is why he goes so deep into the aspect of discipling, not in the way that we have created it, you know, grab this person's hand, preach to them the scripture, that's all good, but your life is a testament to the people who are watching you, because some of that seed that you planted, some of it is not going to take root right away. Some of it is going to take root, but the people that you're dealing with are shallow. Some of it's going to take root and they're going to take off, but the cares of this world is going to choke out the word. It's going to choke it. It didn't say it's going to kill it or destroy it. It's going to choke it out where it's not able to produce. Some people you're going to run into that take hold, and they're going to run with what it is that came from you. And what came from you? A copy from the original seed. We are copies. And we're called to make more copies. From what? From what's in us. Some of you are orange. I'm just, don't track with me in the illustration. Some of you are orange God seed. Sweet and juicy. Some of you are green apple God seed. Sour, but really good. Some of you are lemon God seed. There's only but a handful of people that can deal with you. I'm joking. But y'all get what I'm saying. That we're various types of trees, but we are all to perpetuate the God seed that is in us. Your personality is not like everybody's person. God is not looking for carbon copies where everybody is walking around looking the same, being the same, acting the same. No. As diverse as he made the world, when it came to us, he placed inside of us a variety and a diversity of us so that we would be able to communicate God seed to us. Hello? This is why you can't just go to any old kind of church. Has nothing to do with culture, has nothing to do with color, has everything to do with what God has placed in you. You've got to be able to be in a place, good ground, to begin to produce, watch this, because God works backwards, some 100, some 60, some 30. See, we turn it around, we do it the way we want to hear it. No, God starts big. So wherever he, watch this. Wherever he plants you, that's good ground. Wherever he plants you. Now track with me, because those of you who are into botany and all that, you plant a particular seed and you place it in this container, but when it grows, it outgrows the container. And so what has to happen? You have to then replant it into something. Lord Jesus, all right. So there are those of us who may start out in smaller ministries, but God says that your time here is done because you have, watch this, you have produced. You didn't leave because you got upset with what somebody said. And so. That happens. And it happens many, many times because we don't understand how God does what he does. Will I go from one ministry to the next? It's possible, yes. But it's because you have outgrown and you have extinguished your productivity in that small setting. You can't operate in that small setting anymore. It's not big enough for the vision that God has given you. My God. We're all one body. And after our own kind, God's seed, we're supposed to be perpetuating, reproducing after our own kind and doing it where he plants us, because that's where we're going to be the most productive. I don't think an apple seed is going to do well in the desert. Now, there are some plants that thrive in desert ground. God bless it. There's some desert plants that if you planted in the Amazon, which you would figure, and look at all of the richness and all of the, that it won't survive because it's too much water. It's too much, won't survive. And so you and I, we have to be careful. As children of God now sitting under the word and understanding how God has made us and designed us and where he plants us, that we don't make the mistake of doing our own thing, because our own thing will be destructive to why he's placed us on this planet, and that is to produce. I mean, y'all love me. I love you. But me and Miss Tracy talked about this. There is a difference between being unique and a copy. There's a difference. And what God is showing us is that so far as being a copy, we are a copy of the God seed, but we are unique, and we can only be unique collectively. The aspect of being an original is so far as the children of God in a place that he calls the church. We can only be unique in that dynamic because what we do, it has to be given to someone. We are only unique when we are in the company of our own kind, God's seed, but in this area where he plants us, his church, and we can only be unique with the gifts and talents that we have in the place where he plants us. Why? Because you can't do what you do in a place where he's not planted you. What he's designed you to do, because the people that need to receive from you, he knows who they are. The people that need to grow from what you have, he knows who they are. And he knows how you are supposed to grow with all of the things that you encounter. He knows the people that you need to bring. I didn't say the pastor. I said the people you need to be around so that you will grow. See, you have to understand that first and foremost, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. The seed first must die. And we understand that the original seed was Jesus, and he died. But he didn't stay dead. Praise the Lord. Amen? And everyone who believes on him now receives the opportunity, not just to get into heaven, new life, but there is a seed that is now planted in you, God's seed, just like from the beginning, and just like from the beginning, what God declared, he's not backed off of that, for you to have dominion on this earth, doing what? In the ground that he set you and planted you in, to flourish, to be successful, to have favor, to do all of the things that he's called you to do, no matter what the environment is doing around you. How many of you know that a plant that is planted in good ground, it's going to receive the nutrients and things of that nature, and there's going to be rain that happens, there's going to be storms that happen, there's going to be a lot of things that happen around that plant. Watch this.
Oh, Jesus.
But there is a person or persons that are taking care of that plant. Why? Because that person knows you're in good ground. You're going to produce. That is my expectation because I know what I planted. I know what I planted. I planted an apple tree. I planted an apple seed, and I'm expecting an apple tree. And when the tree comes up and when it is mature, it's going to produce apples that have fruit. The apples are the fruit, and they're going to have seeds in them so that I can get. There's a caretaker to that seed that's planted so that that seed would grow into the tree. There's a caretaker. God said that we are the sowers. We are the sowers. And so when we look and we are able to objectively hear the Spirit of God in regards to the people that we have sown into, your job is not just to plant the seed and walk away. Ooh, okay, all right. Wait a minute. Your job is not just to plant the seed and walk away and say, okay, God. Your job, my job is now to be a caretaker. Because we know that there are conditions, there are outward conditions that happen, and we want to make sure that we are taking care of that seed until it begins. We begin to see a manifestation now that the seed is not a seed anymore. It has become a plant. But we're not just going to be happy that it's a plant, because we're looking for something that's going to produce. We want the fruit to manifest because we know within the fruit there lies more. And what is in that fruit, that person that has borne that fruit, what are they going to do? They're going to perpetuate the same thing that was done to them because they want to see in those lives what they have seen in their own life from the person who had care over them. And that's not just the pastor's job, y'all. See, so our launch and the issue of our favor and all of the things, we have to get our act together because our job is to produce fruit that has seed in it to give to others so that we can now become their caretakers and make sure that they're getting to a point where they grow and they mature, they become a tree, and that tree produces fruit. And that fruit now can be perpetuated to other people who I can't get to. I can't reach the people that you're going to reach at your school. I can't reach the people that you're gonna reach at your job. I can't reach the kids that you're gonna touch where you are. I can't be everywhere at all times. Only God's, that's God's job. But God is not gonna, he's not gonna do here anything on earth that he has given us dominion to do. How come we can't just let God do whatever? Because he said, I created you in my image and my likeness, and I placed in your hands the responsibility to have dominion on earth. And Jesus' prayer, as we learned last week, is on earth as it is in, guess who's running heaven? Guess who's doing a good job? Guess who's supposed to be running earth? Who? The God seed, us. And we're supposed to be working towards the manifestation on earth as it is in heaven. So now I got to figure out, as we learn, I got to figure out how does God get down in heaven? And what does he want me to do as it pertains to the connection that I make with people? Well, he gave us an example because he came from heaven to earth to show us this is how you do it. This is how you produce more God seed. And you guys don't have it just yet because the Holy Spirit hasn't come. But when he comes, he will show you and he will remind you of everything, John 14, y'all, everything that I have taught you. He will convict the world of sin, and he will be a comforter, and he'll be a counselor. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works by the seed that's in you. What is the seed? Jesus said the seed is the word. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life? Look, the gift part is great. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful dynamic. And the manifestation of all the gifts of the Spirit are there for us. But that can't be your focus. The commission and the job is to make disciples. Oh, now it's quiet in here. It's not about, listen, y'all, you can do all that God gives you and graces you to do with the gifts of the Spirit, but if you're doing it for you, if it's just about you, you have missed the purpose of the gifts. Don't ask God for something that you ain't going to use. And I'm talking about for the purpose of kingdom. If it's for the purpose of kingdom, man, do you. Don't miss the point of this, because he gives the gifts so that he will make sure that people know you are a God seed. And so if he manifests tongues in your mouth, you better use them. But understand and read your scripture, you'll find that he clearly declares it is for a sign to unbelievers. He didn't make it difficult for us to think, well, how come we're struggling with? Don't struggle with tongues. Don't struggle with any of the gifts. Seek prophecy. Seek to talk to somebody and tell them what they're doing, even though you don't know what they've been doing. They ain't shared nothing with you. Seek prophecy. Be prophetic if that's what you're going to do, because they're going to hear you clearly, you saying what you're saying. But if he manifests tongues for you, there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for that. Use that. Get down with that too. Understanding that everything that you're doing is so that you produce. That you produce. Hallelujah. I want you to know I'm serious about this. My stance and my belief is God, you, whatever you do and however you do it, you're God. I want to do what you want us to do. But if we're not doing the main thing, we're just playing church. We are. And many of us here in this plant, many of us come from places where we got tired of playing church. We got tired of going through the motions and the emotions. And when we go home and went home, we had the same fights and we had the same struggle. And we did because we didn't understand there's a God seed in here that is dying to produce in your life and then in the lives of the people that you run into. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, you listen to the word not so that you can be good. You are good. And any teacher or any person that tells you are not because of your background, when you ain't had your daddy, they are a liar, because when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are brand new. The scripture says the old things have. I got 2 minutes left. Can you take a little more? First and only landing, Miss Cheryl. Yes, Lord. We have a responsibility then. Knowing what we know now, I have a God seed in me. The seed can't remain a seed. It has to grow into a plant. It has to grow. It has to grow. It has to grow. And it has to grow and get to a point where there is fruit that's produced. It's a God seed, so it has to produce God fruit. What is the God fruit? Well, if you read scripture, you'll find that they're the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God he's God, and he has fruit that he is expecting to be produced in your life. But before you can produce the fruit, there has to be a plant. Did y'all catch that? We can't get caught up on the seed. The seed, its responsibility is to die in good ground and then sprout up a plant. There's a plant. There's a plant that comes from the death. There's a plant that comes from dying to yourself. There's a sprouting that comes up to say this new life is not like what the old life was in any way, shape, or form. But there is a battle. There is a struggle. Why? Because in the very beginning, we recognize, watch this, yes, Lord, there's two seeds that are trying to grow. There's this seed from the woman who we now know is Jesus, but there's this other seed that was planted a long time ago. What did you say, Pastor? I said the devil seed, if you want to use that term. The seed of the sinful nature, the seed of selfishness, the seed that says, I want to do my own thing how I want to do. That seed has been planted, and unfortunately, it has also sprouted, and it has produced some fruit. Are y'all following me? My clock says I got 36 seconds left. Forget the clock. Thank y'all. Thank God. Because I want y'all to get this. Because we think that once we get saved, that because old things have passed away, we're talking about the old fruit produced from that seed that has grown into a plant. But we have to understand that we have to deal with the plant because it's still trying to produce fruit. We have a new plant. We have a new seed. We have a new seed that we want to develop into this new plant, this new life. But there's this old, ugly tree that's still there. This sinful nature, this body, there's this old plant that's still there. And we have gotten to a place where now we have stopped caretaking for it. Are y'all tracking? Are y'all tracking? God has gotten rid of all of the fruit from that tree, but the tree's still there. And if you water that tree, and if you caretake that attitude, and if you caretake that position that you've taken in regards to relationship, you continue to feed into that plant, and that plant will produce fruit. After what? After its own kind. And within the fruit are what? And what are you doing when you are... We forgot. God did. Yes, he dealt with the sin, the product of that seed. But there's a tree that's still, because we're still here on planet Earth. And so we still contend with the sinful nature. The contention is this. You're caretaking the plant. You keep watering it. You keep looking after it. You keep making sure that it's doing well. And what happens is if you take care of something that's been planted in good ground. Well, okay, Pastor, what do you mean by that? It's good ground. What I mean is that everything that God created, he declared. So when you were born, despite being born with a sinful nature, God still declared you are good. But he recognized, but there is a seed that has been planted in your life, and we're going to have to deal with that before it starts producing fruit. Got to deal with it before it starts, because it's going to grow as you grow. It's the sinful nature. It is what it is because of what happened at the beginning. And God doesn't go back on his word, so, hey, seed produces after itself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to counter that seed with another seed. And I give you the choice. That's why we're not robots and we're just doing whatever. I'm going to give you the choice of what plant are you going to water? What plant are you going to caretake? What plant? Because what you're going to see is whatever you take care of, it's going to produce fruit. And that fruit has seed in it, so that when you're contending with other people or coming into contact with other people, you're planting, you're sowing now seeds of that plant that you have taken care of. I'm skiing now. Why am I struggling with it? You're not really struggling. You're just taking care of what you like the most.
Oh, come on now.
And I'm done. No, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Can you take more? So we are accountable for the word that we know. And I'm just as guilty as you are so far as caretaking and some, because there's some fruit that I don't want, but then there's other fruit I like. And God says you're gonna have to deal with that. Paul writes and he says this clearly: you put off the old man. You put off with his. Who does? You, not God. God has done his part. I've given you the seed, and I've given you what can counter the other seed, but you have to take care of that which you deem important fruit to you. You do it. How do I do it? The word. Word that's in you, the Holy Spirit, which I send you, will help you caretake the plant that needs to grow, so that the fruit can be produced, so that the fruit that's produced that has seed in it, you can begin to sow that seed instead of the seed from the other fruit. And then you stop caretaking the other plant. You know that that plant is there. You know that there's a potential for that plant to bear fruit. But because you're taking care of this other tree so much more, this other one doesn't have enough to produce. Thus, when you say, I don't do that anymore, you don't do it anymore because you haven't fed anything towards it. So there's no taste for the fruit. There's no desire for that fruit. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to see the fruit of that anymore because I've tasted it and it's bitter. Last thing. This is really not the last thing, but I'm being respectful of our time. I'm going to talk real brief, about 30 seconds, about soil. And those of you, again, who are into this, gardening and all this stuff, you'll probably be able to confirm this and teach me something. But I did a little bit of reading about the soil, the good ground. Every so often with people who plant things that produce fruit, so that the fruit can then do more of its kind. Every so often, the ground has to rest. The ground has to rest. The ground has to be given an opportunity to replenish itself. Where, quote, the seed that has been planted in it, it has been producing, it has been bearing this fruit of this particular seed for so long that it's conditioned. Watch this. It's conditioned. The ground is conditioned now. it is, this is a God thing. The ground knows that if this seed is planted in it, it will automatically do what it needs to do for that plant to grow up and that fruit to be produced. The ground is conditioned now. And so if you don't put that seed in there and you caretake the ground and you do the things necessary for the ground to produce, when you put that seed that it was conditioned to grow back into it, it actually does even better. Because watch this. The ground has rested. Now, don't get all technical. I'm just giving y'all a little bit of what I've read and understanding just what God, how smart God is. If you read Old Testament, you'll find that even in so far as the children of Israel, their culture was agriculture. That was their commerce. And God, he designed it in their law, their instruction, that there's a certain year that the ground is supposed to rest. And if I'm not mistaken, in the preceding years, they were to do double their growing process so that the land would get rest for the upcoming year or so. And so you have to understand that I believe that in this year of favor for us, and those of us who've been just grinding and fighting hard to produce fruit, I believe that God is saying, well, you've been running so long, you forgot that your ground has to be refreshed and replenished. You're not producing, not because you're not doing what I want you to do, but because you are tapped out. Oh, it's resonating with some of us, huh? Your ground is mature enough, and you've been around, and you've walked with God long enough to know that. And it's not about not reading a word. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the aspect of producing fruit. That we've long been grinding out to try to touch this person, touch that person. And at times, we have exhausted ourselves, and we wonder, why am I so tired? Lord, I know I need to love these people, but I really want to strangle them every time I see them. And the Lord is like, it's because your good ground is tapped out, and I need you to rest. I need you to rest and get word in you, and get the word, the seed in you, if you will, at the appropriate time. But right now, I need you to rest and stop trying to produce fruit. That's not your job. Your job is not to make it happen. I make it happen, but you've got to be the ground that I work with and be able to do the nourishing of yourself and do the nourishing of those that come your way. Because when the word comes back into you, it'll sprout up really quick, and you'll know exactly what to do, and you ain't going to struggle with it because you ain't been feeding that other plant. But you rest your ground. You're trying to do everything. Stop it. You ain't taking care of yourself. You ain't feeding yourself properly. You're not praying like you used to. You're not doing a lot of the things that got you to a place of when you were producing fruit and you knew that, you know, I ain't really had to do a whole lot. But now it seems like it's hard. And God is saying this because you've not followed the instructions on how to take care of the ground. You got the seed. I need more word. I need more conferences. I need more. No. God in his infinite wisdom, he's been cutting us off and allowing the enemy to do certain things just to get our attention and say, do you like him or you like me? He's been allowing things to happen even in the church environment for us to come to a realization. I'm going from place to place, but I'm still dry. Why am I dry? And he's saying, because you haven't taken care of the soil. I'm right there with y'all. I'm right there with you. So I'll land with this. We have been called to favor. And as the scripture teaches us that there is a season where we have to just stop in terms of what we're trying to produce. We need to stop and rest. You'll know when it's time to get back in and start getting on your grind. You'll know, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You don't know. If I'm your pastor, I'll know, and I'm going to tell you. Get up off your butt. Let's go. It's time to go now. We ain't there yet. And that's okay. We have to take care of the ground. Is that all right? Amen. Did you learn something today? I have an announcement to make. Told y'all. And it's a good announcement. Some of y'all have come to me earlier today and was like, whatever you say, Pastor. I'm like, y'all calm down. It's not. Miss Tracy, come on. Life is good. Life, and I'm talking about the church. Life, community church is good. And it's good ground. We have experienced in this year, maybe two, 3 years, what I just ministered and preached. And as with everything, God gives us things by revelation. It first has to resonate with you so for you to understand what God does, because a lot of times what he does doesn't make sense. And why he does it, when he does it, is because he knows our end from our beginning. And it's very hard for us because we are linear. I say all that to say, so far as Life Community Church is concerned, we're about to move from this place. Now hear me. The move from this place will do two things. It will allow us to really put into practice what I preach today.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.